We are the Shy Guys, and you're listening to Connecting to Host, a co-op and multiplayer gaming podcast. And today we're talking about Styx Shard of Darkness, or Styx 2 as you might call it, because Styx returns in a new stealth adventure. You're going to explore and master huge open environments, sneak past or assassinate new enemies and bosses, and experiment with a new array of lethal abilities and weapons in our Goblin Assassin's arsenal. Now, this is a game that's developed by Cyanide Studios in France, and it costs about £35, €40 or so, and is available on PC, Xbox One, and PS4. I think I got my copy for... No, I paid for it, didn't I? I bought it, on Steam, and then I got it in a Humble Bundle literally 3 days later as part of Humble Monthly, so my usual curse struck me. But what are we playing on? I'm playing on my gaming PC, as are you.
Yes, indeed.
Does it have cross-platform play? I wouldn't have thought so.
No, I'm pretty sure not. It's one of those things where, generally, if it's on Steam, apart from Rocket League, I don't think many games do yet. So.
No, that's true. You just interact with it in the normal way. Anyway, tell us about the core game facts.
Sure thing. So, at its heart, Styx is a third-person stealth action game. So, kind of think Hitman with a little bit of Assassin's Creed going on in a fantasy setting. You play as Styx the Goblin, I think best described as being a rude little shitbag. But he's really fun to play. And exactly the sort of personality you would expect, really, from a killer and a thief. I mean, in most games, the main character is kind of, oh, yes, hello, I'm just going to be a polite person and go and kill people. No, this guy is what I would picture as a ruthless killer.
And it's nice that he's not mute like Agent 47 is. He's not like your quiet, stealthy hitman. He's just a little bastard, really.
He's mouthing off all the time at you, at other people, whatever. He doesn't care. But I like that. Really good character. So gameplay-wise, it feels quite Assassin's Creed-y in the sense that you jump around, climb things, swing on ropes, and do all the kind of ledge-grabbing mechanics. But when it comes to the combat, I mean, you die super easy. In the single-player mode, there is a parry mechanic, so you can prolong your life a little bit and then run away. But I don't think in either mode you actually have any offensive capability beyond a couple of single use items that you can use in an emergency. So you really do need to play on the stealth mechanic. Lots of sneaking, climbing, hitting in sort of hiding in dark corners, sitting in boxes and hoping that people don't open the box and find you when they're in alert mode. So the game itself starts off with a tutorial mission, which took us about an hour to complete. And then it's followed by 9 main story missions. And each one of those is about an hour or two to complete. So you're probably looking at somewhere between, probably around 15 hours of gameplay for the whole game. Each level presents 4 different challenges, which you can do to get a gold, silver, bronze, or no medal. And that's dependent on how fast you finish the level, how many enemies you kill, the lower the better. Kind of a mercy mechanic. How many times you alert the guards, and how many of the special tokens, i.e. bits of treasure, that you find in the map. Now, I guess what sets it apart from some other games that are... Not that there are any other stealth action games in a fantasy setting like this, but you actually have a couple of powers, which are pretty interesting. You have a very short-lived invisibility power, which we didn't use enough. We really should have...
No, I suddenly remembered it about 4 hours in, and I was like, ooh. Oh yeah, that'd be useful at this particular point when I need to run up and stab someone in the face, because you can't just run up and stab someone in the face like Assassin's Creed. Like, if they see you, you die instantly, pretty much. Whereas if you sneak up behind them, it's fine. But yeah, it lasts about 2 seconds, the invisibility.
Yeah, and you can upgrade that as you go, but to start with, it's maybe 2 or 3 seconds, and then you have to hide in the corner and drink a potion to use it again. It doesn't even recharge of its own accord. You have to find an amber potion and drink it. But the other power you have is this clone ability, where you can actually kind of cough up a clone of yourself and then you can run around with this clone. It has a limited lifetime, so it might last for 30 seconds. But the nice thing is if it gets spotted, obviously, and it might die. So you lose half your health when you spit out the clone. And if you kind of take it back in at the end of its life instead of it dying, then you get that health back. But if you run around and it gets killed, then you don't actually die, just the clone dies. So that's kind of a cool mechanic, very interesting. And as you go through, you're going to pick up and craft. So there's a bunch of items around the levels where you can You find materials and you can go to desks, of which there are plenty in the levels, to craft extra items. And you might pick up things like sand, which you can use to throw at a torch, which is a few feet away, to put out the light. Some glass bottles, which you can throw as distractions. Bolts that you can build, which can basically give you a one-shot kill on a bad guy. You hit them in the neck and then they fall over dead. But obviously, the body then becomes a problem because they're a long way from you. Or you can get these canisters of acid, which you can use to dissolve bodies. So if you need to, if you kill someone, you absolutely need to get rid of the body before their mate comes. You can use the acid and run away. So, but yeah,
I mean, a big pile of acid in the floor and the smell of rotting flesh is not a giveaway at all.
Oh, the floor is steaming. Oh, wonderful.
Be like that early episode of Breaking Bad where they try and dissolve the body in the bath and it just comes straight through. All over the downstairs. It'd be just like that, I imagine.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll talk about some of the multiplayer-specific stuff and the game modes and so on. So you've basically got two-player online co-op throughout the entirety of the regular campaign. So one player hosts and invites the second player to join them, which is pretty cool, and I think you'll correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you both get the progress. It's not like you're a visitor in their game and then if you go and play the game you have to start from square one again. You literally unlock everything at the same rate and your skills copy over and everything else. So
I guess you need to check that in single player on your own, but definitely the skills carry over, like the skill points you have earned you will keep in your next run, but I'm almost certain that all the progress in the campaign will be there too. So if you were to pick it up now, because I hosted them when you were a client, I think if you played now, you'd be able to start on the next mission.
I'm pretty sure that's true, because when I started it up today, before we played, I had like 4 save files, and it's like, well, I've not played it in single player mode, so it must be. So that's really nice, because there are not many co-op games that work that way. Far Cry. So the way that the mechanic actually works is kind of interesting too, because you think to yourself, okay, if I'm playing a game like Hitman or Assassin's Creed, if I have another person with me, well, that's, you know, it's 2 assassins now, so surely it's going to be far too easy. Do they just make the enemies have more health? Well, that's not going to make much sense, because you just the one hit kills anyway. Instead, what they do is very clever, and basically the second player has to spawn into the world by pressing the button on their controller or whatever, and then the first player vomits them up, and then you are basically a goblin as well that looks exactly the same, but you're just blue instead of green. But the first person loses half their health to spawn you, so they literally split their health in two, and you get a piece each. So if you're at 80% health and you vomit the person up, you get 40% each. Which is kind of clever, because the more, if one of you dies, you can respawn like 10 seconds later and just vomit them up again. But then the health goes half again for both of you. So if John's been caught in a tight spot, he's been hit by a crossbow and he's got 20% health at the moment. When he spawns me, he's now got 10% health and I've only got 10% health. So you pretty much die instantly whenever you're confronted by anyone. Like if someone throws a dart at you, maybe in single player you could take a few hits and keep running away. In this, you're just instantly dead. You also lose the parry ability. So if you do have a head-on confrontation, you can't block it and then run away. You just die.
You've just got to get out of there as quick as you can.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, it's annoying in one sense, because sometimes you're creeping up on someone and then you just have to stab them in the back and then they turn around and they just smack you straight in the face and you're dead. And it's like, oh, come on. In Assassin's Creed, they'd be like, oh, and then you'd slap them in the face.
Yeah, there's like a 2-second grace period in Assassin's Creed, right? Or something, maybe 1 second, but in this there's nothing. So if
they're aware of you, but they have to reach to get their weapon.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, it's just like, it's there, bang. So one thing to note is that there are no mid-level saves in co-op mode either, but you do get that in single player. There are checkpoints for progress, but you do have to finish a stage in one sitting, so you can't stop halfway through level one and just come back to it later on. Also, if you both die, so if I died and then I've not respawned yet, you have to wait 10 seconds, and then John dies, that's it. You die and you go back to the most recent checkpoint and then resume. And sometimes those checkpoints are quite far away. There were times when we'd intricately killed maybe 5 people on a path and then we got caught by someone and then we had to do it all over again, which was didn't happen enough to be a problem, but did happen.
Yes.
I guess the fun thing to mention is skills. So you have a number of skills that you can earn by completing various bits in the missions, be they extra sort of quest lines or finding these you know, tokens and collectibles around the place will give you more points. At the end, you get a load of points, and with those, you can go down various skill trees. So I went down the perception skill tree, which basically meant that it has like an eagle vision mode, very much like Assassin's Creed. And when you enter that, you can see where people are. And by upgrading my ability, I could see from a lot further away and through walls and stuff, because I could listen to footprints and things. You went for an aerial attack mode, didn't you, that didn't really work out?
Yeah, that was one of the tracks, the first ability on that track. So that each of the six tracks, I think, starts is fairly linear. Sometimes they branch into two sub-branches, but yeah. So I picked the aerial attack, and I assumed I'd be able to kind of stand off the edge of a ledge and push X to jump and kill them. What you actually have to do is initiate the jump and push the X mid-jump, which makes it fairly, ooh, dodgy, you know? And then it's also a very loud kill.
Especially with the jumping in this game, which yeah. will no doubt come to later.
Sorry, I was just going to say the really nice thing, though, which came out the back of that was I felt like I'd bought the bad skill there. I was like, I'm a bit gutted that I bought that skill and used 160 skill points. But then you found out, actually, that you can actually respec. So you can just push the button again on any skill you've bought at any point to unbuy it and put those points somewhere else, which I think is great. I mean,
yeah,
it's nice. You can just play with different abilities. You obviously have to be at either a certain station. There are a lot fewer of these stations, but there's kind of tables where you can respec your skills. But that was really pleasant because I bought the skill and I was like, oh man, I've only got two skills at the moment and I wish I hadn't bought that one. And then I could unbuy it and buy a new one. So that was nice. Nice.
There was one other thing, I guess, is the you can change your weapon and outfit. We never did because we just used the default ones and I don't think we unlocked any more.
We had two others, like one other weapon and one other piece of armor, but they both had a fairly big disadvantage for a not a big advantage. I guess it was more to make the game challenging. So I was like, you know what, I'm not that good yet, so I'm not keen. But
I'm guessing we'd unlock more through the game as we played, potentially. If we played a bit further through, we would have got some more of that. But there's quite a lot of variance, though. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to go at. So that is Styx. So let's get onto our likes and dislikes. John, kick us off with a like.
Yeah, I mean, we always take this from a co-op perspective, so I'll just kick off and talk a bit about the co-op. But I thought the way they'd done the co-op mechanic was pretty innovative with the cloning and the losing of health and turning off of certain abilities. A lot of thought has obviously gone into balancing the co-op, and it hasn't just been tacked on in the end like Far Cry 5. And I thought that was really good. I really appreciated that. And I think we weren't the best at teamwork because we were kind of just enjoying running around and exploring the level a little bit too much perhaps on our own. But I could picture there being certain times when there were two guys standing by a door. We both could have gone invisible, ran up and shanked them and taken them both down and done kills that were actually significantly harder on our own. So I think if we'd maybe put a bit more thought into it, we probably could have done a bit more teamwork. But I thought, yeah, just as a co-op experience, it was smooth, it worked. We didn't have any bugs or problems with the co-op side of things. No. Quick to get going and a good co-op experience.
Lag-free. So, yeah. It's absolutely fine online.
Great work. Good.
My first like is that there are so many different paths around the various areas, so you can solve problems in your own way. Like maybe there'll be five different routes that you could take, whether you go under little undercrofts or whether you go just straight through trying to hide from people or creep above the rafters. So there were a huge number of paths, but there's also lots of mechanics as well. So you can do stuff in a very Hitman style, like cut a chandelier and it'll fall down and crash on people, or push a barrel full of acid that just happened to be littered around the environment for no good reason. Or one of my favourites is if there's food or water nearby, you can just vomit on it, and then if they eat it, they die instantly.
I loved in the second level when you're just starting out, there's two guys on the pier. Not sure if they're on the pier. They're walking around the city anyway, and they're talking, and it's like, oh, did you hear about that guy the other day? Yeah, I heard about that. He ate some food that one of the goblins vomited into. Yeah, he got sick, real sick, and then he died. But it's kind of fun, you know, like, obviously it was reminding you the mechanic existed, but I thought it was kind of funny.
It's a clever way of doing it. It was good. But yes, there's lots of different paths around, and in some ways it's good because imagine if we were two assassins and we were going to go in and we're like, yeah, we're going to get to the top of that tower, I'll meet you up there. Right, off we go.
Mm.
And we go separate ways and we don't know what's happening to the other one. And you don't know if when the guards start running, if it's because they've seen you or because they've seen the other guy. And that's kind of cool. But at the same time, I think working together more closely probably would have been a little easier.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
We didn't do that. It's quite difficult to explain where you were, which I'll come to that later anyway. Yeah. Anyway, on with another like, John.
Yeah, I mean, this game is built with the Unreal Engine, and you can tell because it looks gorgeous. And I don't just mean that in a, ooh, the polygons are nice and the effects are good and the materials are pretty. I just mean the overall look and feel of the game is really nice. I mean, you can tell it's not a huge team. I think Cyanide's around 100 people, which sounds like a massive studio, but actually in terms of AAA with, you know, competing with people like DICE or something, which are 500 or more, the team isn't huge. And I think Cyanide might also have worked on Blood Bowl too, so I guess they do multiple games. But I mean, I'm just saying, I think the team isn't huge, but actually it looks really nice, and the art style is very pretty. I love the kind of this rickety wooden city sitting on top of a craggy, swampy lake underneath, so everything is kind of held up on these long wooden poles, and it's just got a really nice feel to it that had a lot of character to it. So yeah. I like
lots of nice,
that world.
Nice little effects like depth of focus and blur and all that kind of stuff is present. And like literally, when we loaded it up the first time, we were like, wow, this looks way better than we were expecting. Like, I was expecting something maybe not as low res as Human Fall Flat, but I wasn't expecting much better than that, to be honest. I was sort of thinking, you know, it's going to be fairly rough around the edges. And it is in some ways. But visually, it's not. Like, even when we started up again today after a week of not playing it, it loaded up like, oh, wow, I've forgotten how good this looks. This is a good-looking game.
Yeah.
Which is good, because as you say, I mean, it's competing against some pretty serious AAA players and definitely holding its own. So my final like is that it gets something right that a lot of games try to do and fail at, which is humour. And it does have some genuinely funny moments. And I think a lot of that is more because it was such a surprise. Like the main part of it is obviously Styx himself is this weird little goblin character who does not have the voice you would expect he's going to have. You expect he's going to be like your typical Dungeons & Dragons goblin voice.
Yeah. Hello, I'm a goblin.
Wonderful. But it isn't. It's more like, I always say it sounds like an Italian mafia boss. It's like how he comes across. He's like a little, the guy in Goodfellas, who is played by the guy that's also Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
It's who he reminds me of. He reminds me of Joe Pesci from Home Alone and Goodfellas. Two very similar films. And so there's these weird bits. I mean, it's quite funny, just like we said, with the dialogue about the vomiting of the food. That stuff and his interactions with people as they go on. But if you die, and you both die completely, then you get this weird little animation where this smoke appears and he looms out the fog, and he basically just insults you. He completely breaks the fourth wall. And sometimes the things he says, you're like, did he just say that?
Yeah.
Like one of the times is like, if you let me die again, I'm going to tell everyone what you did to that warm apple pie. And then he just disappears again. It's like, what? And there was a great one. What was it? It's the, I know I might be digitized, but I'm not stupid. And as he says digitized, he starts flashing like red, green, and blue and starts doing like a little jerky robot move. So strange. But it was very endearing. It's kind of funny. Like when we first played it and they popped up, it's like, what are we playing?
I quite like that because I can see how once you've seen them all a couple of times, they might get a little bit tedious. But it just, I mean, you've died anyway and you're going to have to wait for the game to reload. And it just adds a little bit of, it softens the blow of dying and restarting.
Yeah.
Kind of like, here's a little tiny reward for dying, which is kind of nice. You know, it's not enough to make you want to keep dying, but it's like a little bit of a, hey, you died, but don't worry.
It softens the
There's
blow.
There's some humour for you.
But it's also nice because it's not like Thimbleweed Park is a game that I always think about when I think about game humor, because they tried too hard, and it's too much breaking of the fourth wall, too much knowing winks, too much of that stuff kills it for me. Whereas this is very clever because it doesn't happen anywhere else. It doesn't spoil the actual game. If you never died, it would just be like playing something like Hitman or Assassin's Creed or whatever else. Not serious, but you know, it's very straight. Whereas when you get these little bits, it's just kind of funny just because you don't expect it. And it works for those tiny snippets where it wouldn't work if it was in the main life part of the game. Anyway, let's move on to our dislikes.
Yeah, so I only really had one main dislike of this game, and you're going to touch a little bit on this on yours, I think. But I always praise games with a lot of variety, and I felt that this one didn't have that much variety. It does in the items and abilities to some degree, but essentially, and I guess this is a difficulty they have with the way that you sneak up on enemies and one-shot them all from the back, but all the enemies kind of felt the same. In the first couple of levels, you just see humans around. Later on, you see some dwarves and some elves. And fundamentally, they walk around in a pattern, and you've got to try and distract them, sneak up behind them, and kill them. You know, so there are some more monstrous enemies later on in the game, which play out a little bit differently. But for the most part, you're going to be stabbing up people in very much the same way. I think the dwarves can kind of smell you. So there's a little bit of a... they have like a better sense of smell, so the invisibility power is less effective against them. But you know, like, tiny bits of variation, but 90% of the game you're going to be getting around or killing the enemies in the same way.
And I think that's also true of the environments. At least the few environments that we played were all very much the same, which made it very difficult to communicate in terms of I'm in a room with all the same assets of the last three rooms we saw, but this one's got two living people in it. Like, oh, okay, well, I'm 50 meters away and I'm seeing the same. Like, I remember having a long conversation with you, being like, go up the stairs, go down, the stairs. And it turned out you were in a completely different building, but very similar. So, that is, again, it's difficult with a small team to create a large amount of assets to have a huge amount of variation. And it isn't a massive criticism, it's just, it is quite samey. I did like all of the different mechanics, like the ways that you can kill people with environmental effects and stuff. But that's the same as you see in something like Shadow of Mordor or Hitman. There wasn't a huge amount of it, but I agree with you that the enemies were very, very samey. Yeah. They were also a bit glitchy.
Yes.
So it is a game that is, whilst visually very good, some of the AI is a little rough around the edges. So things like someone will be walking around in their usual pattern, and maybe someone else has seen you and is running after you, but they get stuck behind that person.
Yeah.
So they're just like right up against them, just trying to squeeze past. But the other person has no idea they're there. And sometimes dialogues would happen and the people wouldn't even be looking at each other. They'd be like one guy looking out of a window, talking to someone that's like the other side, looking out behind him. And it's like they should have stood next to each other. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. It's just quite a few glitchy, clippy bits.
And we got to the end of one of the missions and we I was like, haha, here's the thing we're trying to find. And then it just cut to another sentence and just like, what? And then I realised they obviously missed a few sentences out because it went kind of from here's the reward to and then you'll do this, right? And you're like, huh?
I've missed something.
Something's just gone. But yeah, it's a little glitchy. I wouldn't say it was enough to ruin it. But, you know, they were just, you can tell, a bit glitchy.
And this wasn't a glitch, but it was more of an annoyance with the controls, which I guess we should talk about. So jumping is a little bit, you're never quite sure when you jump if you're going to grab onto something or whether you're going to plummet to your death. It has that whole, like, original Tomb Raider jumpy feel to it. Like, 90s Tomb Raider jumping. Like, you want to go for that piece of rope, but you know you could go, you know, 40 degrees left of it.
Yeah.
But also,
and because the whole game world is suspended above like a pit of death, essentially, kind of these buildings on stands, or you're on an airship or something where falling off means death, not just lots of damage. You're reluctant to make, you're like, I think I can jump that, but nah, I'll just go and kill someone and go the slow way around because if I miss it, I'm dead.
Yeah. So. And also you had that interesting issue with the fight where you wanted to basically kill someone and then take something off their body because they need that key. But because you did it by the edge of the airship, you just kicked him off.
Yeah.
And then he fell with the item you needed. And so it's like, yep, you failed that side quest. It's like, oh.
That's unfortunate because I was chasing him around for ages. And just as I got close enough, it had the kill button. And then like 2 seconds later, as I was just committing to doing it, it switched to the kick thing. So it did say kick, right?
Oh, okay.
But I'd already kind of mentally started the button pushing process before I realized it. And then, oh, it's changed to something else. I need to kill him anyway, so I'll keep pushing it. And then it's like, oh, it changed to the word kick. And there he goes with the key I needed. Good.
In many ways, though, that's kind of good that you can just... Yeah. Screw up a side quest. You can just kick him off. He didn't leave the key as he fell, which would be more usual in games. Okay, let's move on to the comments. You got any final kind of comments on this game?
Yeah, this was not critical enough to be a dislike, but in some ways I kind of liked it. Maybe because I liked the old school stealth games like Thief and things, but the AI was very much like a body. Oh my god, where are they? And 10 seconds later. Ah, well, must have been the wind on the torches. Back to my station, exactly where I normally am. And you're like, I think if I saw a body, I'd probably investigate for more than 10 seconds before I went, ah, I'm sure they've gone. I mean, they've just left a trail of 30 dead bodies in their wake, but I'm sure I'm good. Just go back to my door.
It's the fact that the bodies just stay there. I'm trying to think, what game is it? Oh, it's Hitman, I think, where when someone dies, people will come and take the body away, like, and because people will freak out about it. And so someone comes with like a little Ziploc bag and then carries them out. Is it Hitman? I could be getting it wrong. There's definitely a game where it does that, and I love it because it's
That's cool.
A good way of not having the bodies hanging around. Oh, it is Hitman because in the Sapienza level, there's even a mechanic where you can kill someone because you know they'll go to the morgue and then you can pickpocket them.
That's cool.
So I think my last comment was, again, not really a like or dislike, because we had a way around it, which was Skype, but there is no in-game comms, so you will have to use... Well, I guess that's kind of unfair, though, because if we were playing it on Steam, we probably would have used Steam chat, because you can chat from Steam.
I think the reason why it's worth mentioning is a comment, because if you... When you invite a player, you can either invite your friend in a private game, or you can just open it up to the public and have a random come in. Now, if a random came in,
yes,
you kind of want to work as a team in this game. And if you can't talk, that is going to be problematic.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to invite them and then say, yeah, let's be friends on Steam.
Yeah,
friends on Xbox or PS4 or whatever it might be, and talk that way. Yes, I mean, very much like A Way Out, really, in that sense.
Mm.
Did A Way Out have chat? I can't remember.
And it did. It did, right? Because we had to turn it off because it didn't work as well as Skype. But at least it had it in the game.
That was a poor example. I'll shut up and just say that there's no in-game comms, so you'll need to use your own platform-specific ones. So in conclusion, we always ask two questions. Would we play it again? Would we recommend it? John?
I think I will keep playing it in single player. I'm not sure if we'll keep playing it in co-op, but... That comes down to the usual problem we have of big backlog of games, and I think I'm slightly more keen on the co-op stealth than you are. You're a bit like, yeah, it's good, but I'm done. Whereas I'm like, I like it. I too am not going to push too hard for it, but I will play it again. I'll probably do a few more of the stages in single player. Would I recommend it? I think so. Yes. I mean, it's not a cheap game, but if it's on sale, it's definitely worth it. There are no other stealth action co-op games to this, like the full Hitman caliber, and this is pretty much there, and I think it's really cool to have this sort of game in co-op.
I agree with that. I didn't love the co-op aspect of it just because I felt like it would be better in single player. But that's just my personal preference, because I like playing Hitman, which obviously is a single-player game. But it's nice to see it. But also, more importantly, I love seeing this genre of game, the standard sneaky, creepy, assassin-y thing, but in a fantasy setting, like a proper... It's not, I mean, you could argue something like Dishonored, maybe, but that's... It's not a traditional fantasy setting, which is definitely what this is. And it's good for it. I think it's a good game. looks great. I would also play it again, but probably in single player, just because for us, I guess maybe in local it would work well.
If you're in the
same room, that might be easier, or split screening, because you can actually see what the other person's doing. That might work too.
Needs a little mini-map, even if it just shows you where the other person is, nothing else.
Yeah, it has like that weird range indicator, doesn't it? Which doesn't really help, because you have to be looking directly at it in the right direction to see where you are. But I'm rambling. The point is, would I recommend it? I probably would, if it's the sort of game that would appeal to you. Like, if you like a stealth game, go pick it up. You will enjoy it in single player, and if you've got a friend who also owns it and want to try it in co-op, you know, you might love it. And we enjoyed it, so
yeah,
it was a happy few hours that we played on it. So yeah, definitely recommend it. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. You can go to connectingtohost.co.uk to look at some other podcast episodes where we've done Skyforce Reloaded, A Way Out, Sea of Thieves, We Were Here Too, a whole host of games. I think we've got maybe 45 up there now, 46,
around,
something like that.
Around that, yeah.
Yep. You can also go to shyguys.io, where you can see game reviews, our Let's Play YouTube series, where we're doing some more mods type stuff. You can also see the weekly gaming update, which has all your gaming news and game releases over the past week. So it's a great way of keeping up to date with what's happening in the industry. You can also check us out on Twitch. We're there now. So if you go to shyguys.io, you'll find links through to the various Twitch profiles where we sometimes stream co-op games together. In fact, we were streaming Sticks. So if you go on there, you'll be able to actually see us playing for 2 hours or so and get a real feel for some of the gameplay by seeing us as we experienced it. You can also go to Twitter at CTHcast if you want to tell us any other games you want us to play. And finally, if you enjoyed this episode, please do leave a friendly iTunes review. We love getting some good feedback. Or likewise, you can message us at CTHcast on Twitter. Tell us what you think. But thanks for listening, and we hope to catch you next time.